chapter, one of the words that is perhaps harder to define than any word in the Bible is the word faith. And Jesus said it in Mark 5. He said, when he saw their faith, it's an elusive thing, and for us, it's not a tangible thing that we don't see, but we see the actions of faith in our lives. If you really believe it's going to rain this afternoon, you would take an umbrella. But if you don't believe, well, then you don't take the umbrella. If you believe God's going to do something, then you're going to take steps in order to see it happen. Amen. I believe God can heal somebody here this morning. But somebody has to believe that that is actually going to happen in their lives. So in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse number 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the words of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm going to try to explain that this morning. And then if you'll go to Romans, the 8th chapter. And verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope, that is, seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? What are you hoping for this morning? What do you have faith for this morning? Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word, that you touch it, anoint it, make it alive. Minister to your people. You know what the need is. And help us to speak the words of heaven. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're living in a digital revolution which has changed the way that we do life. In the last 10 years, our life has been changed so dramatically because of the digital revolution. 10 years ago, I bought my first iPhone. I mean, it was just the most incredible instrument on the planet. And now I have a iPhone 7 I bought a couple of years ago. They have an iPhone 10 now. And you can pick it up for only $1,000. And it has facial recognition. And I'm thinking I need that because when I get up in the morning sometimes, I don't even recognize myself. And I could go to the phone and say, who am I? And it would tell me. Now, it plays such a big part of our everyday life. There's hardly a person that doesn't have a phone. Pictures and letters are sent through the air to my pocket. Even when I'm preaching, I get pictures sent to my pocket. Dick Tracy watches that we're using. You know, when I was a kid, the phenomenon of Dick Tracy talking into his watch was just, it couldn't happen, folks. No more waiting for snail mail to get the news from a faraway place. I get messages from missionaries all over the world, you know, in just an instant. People are anxious to share pictures of their dog and what they ate for breakfast. I don't care what you ate for breakfast. There's just too much information. One pastor sent me a picture of his past kidney stone. I need to get that out of my head. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Glory to God. We can't get through a meal without looking at our phone. Like we are so important, the president's calling or, you know. It's just amazing that we have to be involved in the information in most cases that doesn't make any difference in our lives. I remember a year after I started pastoring, we decided that we wanted to have our songs up on the screen. So we would take slide pictures and then go to the developer and have slides made, and then they were put in a carousel way up in the balcony area. We didn't actually have a balcony, but it was up above the door, and then we had a remote thing that we could push for certain songs to show up on the screen. Wow, high tech, we have arrived, you know? Even projecting God's word on a screen for everyone to see was an incredible thing that didn't happen that long ago. Today we can project pictures and themes to create an atmosphere. We have beautiful scenes behind our songs, and it's lovely to look at images of faith. But when the projector is shut off, all that's left is a blank screen. Walk in here on a Monday, and it's just blank. Oh, we have screens in our pocket, but what are they projecting into our lives every day? There are projections on many devices that we have that are constantly showing images of things that are going on in this world. We have access to more images than we've ever had in our entire life. You don't have to pick up a book or a magazine in order to see a picture any longer. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many times that people have had visions in this congregation during song service or during the preaching of the word, angels, or what God was going to do. He was projecting an image to people of what God was going to do in this place. Faith is the proof of things we have not yet seen, but believe they're going to happen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed or completed by the Word of God, by the Word of God. We read the Word and we believe there's something going to be happening here. It's going to be complete, just as He spoke the worlds into existence. Why can't He speak a healing or a deliverance into the lives of people? Through the Word. I didn't know people spoke in tongues after they were filled with the Holy Ghost until I was 30 years old, walked into a Pentecostal church. Nevertheless, it was still true. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. A little confusing. God, what do you mean? You know, science tells us that everything, including the earth, is all made up of atoms, which is the smallest particle that anything can be comprised of or broken down to. And they say that an atom is a skin covering nothing. So everything is made up of things that do not appear. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, Moses, how'd you figure that out? In the simplest terms, our church services are looking for evidence or proof of things that we can't see with our natural eye. So every time we walk in here, we're looking for some kind of proof of a God that we can't see, of a miracle that hasn't happened as yet, for a deliverance that could take place, but we need some evidence or we need some proof. And God is providing proof in every service, even when you feel the presence of God, you know, this could happen. I haven't seen it yet, but this could happen. Every time we come to church or prayer, we receive more evidence of God and His promises. More evidence, it's stacking up. Hallelujah. You know, they have this special investigation, looking for evidence against. And you know what? God has a special investigation looking for evidence for. He's coming. He's coming. He said in these end times, great things are going to happen. He's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Which evidence enables us to rely on Christ for salvation and the invisible things that we have not yet seen, but we hope for. You know, when you walk into a place like this, like I did this morning at a little after 9, when there was a move and power of God in here before most people even showed up, I'm thinking, uh-oh, something's going to happen in here. You know, and when you feel the presence of God come over you, you know, what it's saying is, here's the evidence, something's going to happen in here. It's the reason why we send our kids to Sunday school and to children's church and to Power Hour and to Bible quizzing and youth camp. It's the reason that we send our kids in order to be taught. We want faith to be projected on the screen of their minds. And every time they walk into a classroom and they hear the story or they see the picture or they draw, these little kids, they come back from Sunday school with little drawings and pictures that they've colored, it is projected on their mind that this is the evidence of a God that I haven't seen yet, but one day we're going to see face to face. And if that power is disconnected, the light of the church is cut off, then the screen goes blank. Gather yourself together all the more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because we need more screensavers. We need some more projection. We need to hear about a God that is going to do great things in our life. Isn't it amazing that we can't get through a meal without looking at our phone screen, but that people feel they can survive without a projection of faith in church services? Tell you what, this week, nobody look at their phone at all. Is that okay? The whole church would leave, you know, because we got to have their phone. But can you imagine, okay, for 2 weeks we're not going to have church at all? And we wonder why we struggle believing for a miracle or a deliverance. Could we do that? There are some people who have left the church. You know why? Because they didn't have enough projection on their mind of the evidence of God. Take a look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse number 6. Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Anybody want to please God? Amen. You cannot please God without faith. You cannot please God without faithfulness. And I want to please God, but if I lose faith, not only am I not pleasing God, but I don't have access to the rewards of God as well. You see? God is not looking for a date. He's not looking for a part-time Christian. He's looking for someone who says, no, you are the priority in my life. And then God responds by saying, reward, reward, reward. You see, the frustrating thing is when people try to serve God on a part-time basis, they don't get full-time benefits. They wonder, why isn't it happening in my life? Other people are getting the benefits, but I'm not getting it. Because I've decided there are other things that are more important than putting God first. Somebody ought to say thank God or hallelujah or amen. Every service, someone is standing behind this pulpit projecting faith on the minds of people in this place. We're projecting an image of what God is going to do. A strong church is a church which has evidence of the things not seen. A faith that believes there is nothing that God can't do. You would be amazed at how many people go to church that do not believe that God doesn't have limitations. But this church, because of the projection, because of the experience, believes that anything could happen in this place at any time. A faith that comes from many projections of evidence, from preaching of the word to revealing of the hand of God in their life, knowing that, hey, listen, if it happened to Sister What's-Her-Face, it can happen to me. If God could heal cancer in one person, God could heal cancer. See, it's the evidence of things not seen as yet. When someone walks up here and gets the Holy Ghost, then somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. Over the years, we have all seen people walk away from this truth. Every one of them has some kind of excuse for leaving. I'm probably the biggest excuse. They have to discredit something in order to be justified of walking away. They were exposed to faith in many forms and at one time had faith to believe and faith to respond and faith to receive from God, but their faith was projected faith and not possessed faith. They heard it, even experienced it, but they didn't own it. It wasn't their faith. It was somebody else's faith. It was mom's faith. It was dad's faith. It was the pastor's faith, but it wasn't their faith. Hallelujah. I remember a pastor came many years ago and he said, God, I just need more faith. And he thought, well, his faith bank would be filled by the morning, you know. And you know what happened? All of a sudden, his family became sick. I mean, we're talking about serious things. And as he prayed and as he fasted, God healed and touched every one of them. And from that point on, I have faith, you see. It's not somebody else's faith that I read. It wasn't reading from Hebrews, the 11th chapter of the hall of faith of all of those people who had great faith because of the things they went through and overcame, but it was his faith now. Glory to God. They heard it, even experienced it. And over time, just projected faith won't stand up to all of the other pictures that we're receiving every day. God's image fades, and all that is left is empty ritual instead of a belief that my God can do it. Projected faith is faith that looks real, but only exists if somebody constantly reminds you that God is good. Do you own it? This is what it sounds like. My pastor or my parents believe this or that. Or my church teaches this or that. Absent from the conversation is the phrase, I believe. When you can walk up to a stranger and simply say, I believe God can heal you right now. Right. Now you own faith. It isn't what your pastor said. It isn't what the Sunday school teacher said. And our little kids down there in Sunday school, I'll tell you what, they have a greater measure of faith because they haven't had the disappointments, but there have been projected faith in their minds to believe that my God can do anything. Hallelujah. You see, every person's faith begins as a projected faith. Someone tells you about Pentecost, or someone teaches you a Bible study, or tells you about the experience that they had in God, they then want as many pictures of that God as they possibly can. They want more church. They want more Bible studies. They want to come to prayer meetings, and they want to come to special events at the church because more pictures, please. More pictures, please. I'm open to more projections of what God is really like. Could you tell me more about this God? And this is a picture book. That's what it is. It's just pictures of our God and what he has done and what he can do in our lives. But somewhere in faith development process, individuals need to begin to own their own faith. God helps us all with situations in our own lives. Nobody's going to get out of this thing without some situation in their life that they have to exercise some faith. Somebody's going to have to tear off a roof. Somebody's going to get so determined in order to see the miracle happen that they're going to fast and they're going to pray and they're going to believe. And now they own their faith. God helps us all. Evidence of things not seen. Faith. Faith. Can I see your faith? That's what Jesus is saying. When I saw their faith. And as we exercise that faith, whether believing for a healing or a job or a deliverance or a conversion of somebody that we know, we're saying, you know what, God, I see that happening. I've got evidence in my heart that this is going to happen. Yeah. And then you start to own that faith. You purchased it by your belief and by your actions and by what comes out of your mouth and how faithful you are to church services. And then the conversation says, my church believes, my Bible says, I believe it's going to happen. Yeah. And then even if the light in the projector goes out, you still see the evidence, the substance of the things hoped for. We will all face challenges to our faith. Something happens, and we can't figure out, God, why have you allowed this to happen in my life? Then we start to examine ourselves to see, am I doing what's right? Am I living according to the precepts of your word? And many times, it's none of that at all. But God wants to demonstrate, he wants you to own the faith, not just hear about it, not just read about it, but own it for yourself. But if in our mindset we have the right pictures of faith, our faith will not be shaken because over the years there has been so much projected faith onto our minds through the preaching of the word, through the demonstrations of the Holy Ghost in our life, that it's so simple to say, I know my God can do this. Amen. Amen. Faith is one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's probably the most important, because if you don't have faith, you're not going to stand and bring in a message in tongues and interpretation. You're not going to expect a miracle is going to take place or a healing. You're not going to prophesy, because if you don't have faith, it is the motor, it is the power behind every gift of the Spirit in the church. Would you turn to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter? Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue in what has been projected over and over. How many sermons have you heard? How many altar calls have you been to? How many times have you felt the presence of God? How many little revelations has God given you over the years? You read the book and then all of a sudden something jumped out at you and it was a projection of how real God was in your life. And he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, my faith is low. Well, why? Not enough pictures. I don't want God just to send me a picture during church service. I'd like to have a picture in the middle of the night. I'd like to have a picture during the day. Oh, God's sending me another picture. Because he wants to communicate with us, and he just doesn't want to do that three times a week if you're faithful to all of the service. But God wants to send you pictures all through the day and even at night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, the advancements of heaven. How he could just send you a picture. Amen. And it won't be of a kidney stone. His pictures are great pictures. Hallelujah. I wonder, there have been people, Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but here's what God showed. Why wouldn't I believe it? Hallelujah. God believes in this concept so much that he himself said that he would project images on our minds. Isn't that incredible? Me, little old me, 7 billion people on the face of the earth. And he's saying, I gotta send Schumacher a picture. Got his address, got his email. Gotta send him a picture. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Don't shut your phones off. You walk out of here and you shut your phone off. I'm not talking about this phone, you know. Don't. Let's go to this chapter in Acts 2. Verse number 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men they'll see pictures, and even your old men shall see pictures, motion pictures, dreams in color sent from heaven by God, in order to project faith in your life, so when you wake up, you are a stronger Christian, believing in the things you have not seen. I have evidence. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, and before that great notable day of the Lord. Did God send the earth some pictures? Huh? Did we have an eclipse this year? Did we have a blood moon this year? God's sending us pictures to show us how real and tangible He is in our lives, and that we are living in the last days, folks. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalms 119 and 11. There's a bunch of kids who could quote this immediately in here. Psalms 119, 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." He's got the pictures, the projections, "that I might not sin against thee." You know, there are some pictures in my mind that I would love to be able to destroy. And you have some images in your mind that you would love to destroy. What you need to do is replace those with the good ones. One of the greatest attributes of this kind of faith is what has been projected on us in preaching and experience. Then we are able to project onto somebody else. Amen. We're projectors. From what we received, we now project on to others. My wife got a call Friday from Sister Linda Bailey, and she was just so excited because she was able to talk to a patient about the things of God. She said, "I felt so empowered after witnessing. I was so excited about it." Projected faith. See, you can have the faith, but I'll tell you what, if you start to project that faith onto somebody else, all of a sudden you get all excited because there's a light inside of you that has been shut off for so long, but now it's projecting onto somebody else. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Luke 7? Luke 7, verse number 1. "Now when he had entered all of his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching them that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. For he loved our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof." Oh, God, I wonder if there's somebody who's saying, you know, I know there's a lot of people got the Holy Ghost, but I don't think it could happen to me. I'm not worthy to receive the Spirit of God. "Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. No place in the Bible do you find Jesus saying someone had great faith except this man." Hallelujah. Great faith. only mentioned once. Where did such great faith come from? How many want to have great faith? Well, obviously, as described in this scripture, this man was humble. Humble. Even though he was a man of authority, he was humble. When I see people getting to the place where they think they are something, you know, Samuel said to Saul, when thou wast little in thine own sight, God made you a king. But now that you think you're somebody, you're out. Here, David, come on in. He said, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. And a man under authority. Two things that must be present to obtain great faith. You have to be humble. You have to be under authority. Well, I come to church, but I really don't believe what that guy says all of the time. Well, forget about great faith. Obviously, someone had been speaking into his life, projecting God into his life, believing that something great could happen from this Jesus. And as the result, great faith appeared when he most needed great faith. I don't know how old you are or how long you've been in the church, but I declare unto you, one day you're going to need great faith. Great faith. I don't want anybody to be frustrated because they've been praying and God hasn't been answering their prayers. But obviously God's given us a formula as to great faith. Hallelujah. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. And when I call to remembrance the unfrayed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So this faith started in grandma, and grandma projected it onto her daughter, and then his mother projected it onto him, and now we've got a great preacher with great faith to believe because it was projected down. Oh, you know, my parents, mother, you know, they got a lot of faith. Well, I'll tell you what, somehow that faith has to have a trickle-down benefit to you. They need to see faith in you in order for them to have faith themselves. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Can you imagine that God scheduled you to get the Holy Ghost before he scheduled the world? Oh, hallelujah. Can we visualize in faith the hope that we have in God? Before I baptized my mother and father, for years, I had this picture in my mind of baptizing them. Before you're healed, you ought to have a picture sent from heaven of what you're going to do once you're healed and how you're going to rejoice in God. I wonder if God isn't constantly looking for our screensaver to see what we're picturing in the church. Hallelujah. And at what level of faith does he see in our own screensaver or our mind. I just have a couple of more scriptures. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. Second Chronicles 16 and 9, familiar scripture. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. So what he's looking for is what's going on in that mind. I'm so grateful that the devil cannot read my mind. He can't. I mean, he can tempt us, but he can't know what's going on. But he can throw thoughts into our mind and see how we react. But God is obviously monitoring all of our thoughts and all of our pictures. And our whole life is pictures. What are we going to do this afternoon? You can see yourself sitting in the restaurant right now if you don't like this preaching, you know. We can leave this building in the middle of the sermon because we have that ability in our mind. And then 1 Peter 3. And verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Could we be projecting our faith to God in our everyday actions? Everyday actions. Amen. Genesis 22. I love this scripture. You know the story. God tells Abraham to take his son up to the mountain, sacrifice him. Abraham's called the father of the faithful. He didn't question God, didn't tell his wife, didn't tell anybody else because he didn't want any input from anybody else. He knows what God has said to him. In verse number 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. It took some faith to say that. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. What a picture of faith. You said it, I'll do it, but I have faith. God, you said my seed would be like the sands of the sea. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessings I will bless thee, and in multiplyings I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of thine enemy. Because you've extended, because you have demonstrated your faith in me, blessings. I'm going to become Jehovah Jireh. I will provide for you more than you could possibly ever provide for yourself. And because of that, do you know what? Abraham found himself in the hall of faith. There's some baseball players and some football players and there's some movie stars and there's some songwriters. They want to get the trophies. They want to get into the hall of fame. How many of you want to get into the hall of faith? You know? Hebrews 11 and 17, same verse as in Genesis. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You know what the greatest demonstration of faith is? Offering up your only begotten son or this flesh. God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. The thing that you love the most, whether you admit it or not, you love yourself. And what God is saying, if you're willing to offer yourself blessings, Jehovah Jireh, I'm going to multiply. I'm going to help you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So would you like the picture? Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to have a second showing tonight. Amen. Amen. All during the week we have previews. If you come here, it's going to cost you something. Amen. You already have the ticket. You ought to save your seat. Glory to God. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?